And now we want to consider what happens if we build a p-n junction. So this is a region of n-doped semiconductor in contact with a p-doped semiconductor. And this kind of p-n junction is part of diodes, light-emitting diodes, laser diodes, solar cells, and all kinds of transistors. All kinds of transistors always have p-n junctions in them. So it's important to understand some of the properties of a p-n junction. And previously, I talked about some properties of p-type semiconductors. If you take acceptors and you dope the semiconductor with some acceptors, you get an acceptor level that's close to the valence band, which I didn't draw in here. And that causes the chemical potential to be close to the valence band. And then we can take these two important formulas, N and the one for N and one for P, and V EXP E V minus mu over KVT. And we see that for when the chemical potential is close to the valence band, that gives us a large concentration of P and a small concentration of N. If we want to know what the concentration of minority carriers is in a p-type semiconductor, or also if we want to know what the majority carriers are, the majority carriers are the number of excess acceptors over the donors in that region. It could be that because of the process of building the device, first it was doped with donors, and later it was doped with acceptors. You take the total number of acceptors, subtract the total number of donors in that region, and that gives you the concentration for P, at least in this extrinsic temperature range. There's a wide temperature range around room temperature where this will be true. And then you can calculate the minority carrier concentration like this. Ni is the intrinsic carrier concentration. It's what the carrier concentration would be if there was no doping. So you take Ni squared divided by the P from up there, which is also depends on the doping. And then for a p-type semiconductor, we calculated the chemical potential basically by taking this formula and saying that P equals the concentration of acceptors. So if P equals the concentration of acceptors, you can solve this for the chemical potential. And you get a chemical potential that looks like this. And then similarly for donors, if you have an n-type semiconductor, then the chemical potential will be close to the valence band. And under normal conditions, the concentration of electrons in the valence band will be the number of donors, the concentration of donors in that region, minus the acceptors that were doped in that region. And you get the minority carrier concentration like this, and the chemical potential by solving this formula where you set N equals the donor concentration. That it gives you the chemical potentials. And then if these two regions are in contact, the chemical potential will have to be constant everywhere, because the chemical potential describes the level to which the electron states are filled. And when two materials are in contact, their chemical potential is the same. If you don't apply a voltage, at least, if there's no voltage applied but they're in contact, then their chemical potentials would be the same. And you shouldn't think about starting with a block of semiconductor of N and another one with P and physically pushing them together. Because if you do that, there'll be all kinds of interface states at the boundaries, and interface states act a little bit like dopants, and it'll be very complicated. So what we want to think about is we start with a perfect crystal of silicon, and we dope some region with P, or we start with, a perfect crystal that's doped P one out of every million atoms, and then in that we dope an N well. So we put donors in just a region of it. And then you get a P-N junction where the boundary between P and N is still, it's still a perfect crystal near the boundary. It's still, the whole thing is one crystal of silicon. It's just the doping, one out of every million atoms on one side has been substituted by a donor, and on the other side, they've been substituted by an acceptor. Okay, So I take this drawing and I line up the chemical potentials and draw it again to see what will happen.